Today's reading begins in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 9. Deuteronomy 23, verse 9. When you are encamped against your enemies, then you shall keep yourself from every evil thing. If any man among you becomes unclean because of a nocturnal emission, then he shall go outside the camp. He shall not come inside the camp, but when evening comes, he shall bathe himself in water, and as the sun sets, he may come inside the camp. You shall have a place outside the camp, and you shall go out to it. And you shall have a trowel with your tools, and when you sit down outside, you should dig a hole with it, and turn back and cover up your excrement. Because the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to give up your enemies before you, therefore your camp must be holy, so that you may not see anything indecent among you, and turn away from you. You shall not give up to his master a slave who has escaped from his master to you. He shall dwell with you in your midst in the place that he shall choose within one of your towns, wherever it suits him. You shall not wrong him. None of the daughters of Israel shall be a cult prostitute, and none of the sons of Israel shall be a cult prostitute. You shall not bring the fee of a prostitute or the wages of a dog into the house of the Lord your God in payment for any vow, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not charge interest on loans to your brother, interest on money, interest on food, interest on anything that is lent for interest. You may charge a foreigner interest, but you may not charge your brother interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all that you undertake in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from vowing, you will not be guilty of sin. You should be careful to do what has passed your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. If you go into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes, as many as you wish, but you shall not put any in your bag. If you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies, who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. So our reading starts out with talking about when they are encamped against their enemies. And I view this as looking forward to them conquering the promised land. This wasn't necessarily talking about when they were going through the wilderness, but specifically when they were going to war with those whom the Lord had said that they were to wipe out and take possession of the land. They were to take extra precautions or extra measures in order to make sure that they did not do anything that would defile themselves in the sight of the Lord, so that he would be with them and fight with them as they were encamped against their enemies. Verse 15 talks about slaves and how they were to be treated. This seems to be a case in which a slave would flee from one of the pagan peoples and come to Israel, and they were to take care of him or allow him to live among them. I would assume this is a case in which they were fleeing from some sort of mistreatment rather than fleeing from justice, since we're just talking about master and slave. Verse 17, referring to cult prostitutes, this was a very common practice among pagan religions of the time, and they weren't supposed to get involved at all with any of those pagan religions. And so this is sort of a reiteration of don't adopt these pagan practices. They're abominable to the Lord. Verse 19 is regarding, you know, how they would treat their brother versus a foreigner in regards to loaning money or loaning possessions. Verse 21, talking about making vows. We understand under the New Testament we're told, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, we should be people of our word. Lying shouldn't be part of the Christian life at all, and we should absolutely do our best to keep our promises and to do what we say that we will do. It's a shame that people view lying as such a minor offense when it's so obviously a sin in the eyes of God, and so we should take every care and precaution to not lie and to keep our word. Verse 24 and 25, you may have noticed a little bit of a reminder of things that happened with Jesus and his disciples regarding the plucking of grain. Basically, you know, if you're hungry and you're in this vineyard or in this grain field, you can eat a little bit of it, but you can't go in there and start harvesting your neighbor's fields. And finally, in chapter 24, laws concerning divorce, what was allowed, what wasn't. There were many laws that were written in order to govern these particular situations regarding divorce, as well as also regarding what to do if, you know, a spouse dies and the brothers coming in to sire children in their name. That final verse there that we read, "You shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance." That's probably a good summary for all of these little sections that we've gone through. You shall not bring sin upon the land. This promised land was supposed to be special. It was supposed to be a place that God had given them, and sin was not supposed to be among it. That doesn't mean they would never sin, but it does mean that, you know, they were supposed to be a holy people for God, and they needed to take that seriously. Likewise, we today, as Christians, as children of God, joint heirs with Christ, part of the body of Christ, cleansed by his blood, we should not be bringing sin into the equation at all. Now, again, we're not perfect. We do sin, but we need to be that holy and special people set apart for God. And so we need to work to rid ourselves of those things that we fall prey to so that we might do a little bit better as time goes on, walking in the light. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.